thank you. We can know whose we are. We praise you that we can be called children of God. We worship you today in spirit and truth. May your will be done in our lives, and may we accomplish all you have in store for us. Let us reveal your love to others at all times. Amen. Please remain standing and join us in singing "There is Joy in the Lord."
Again, who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me. Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours.
You may be seated, and I'm going to invite you to turn around and face the camera. We have Daniel at some point today, or perhaps even now, live streaming, so we want to send our support out to Daniel. So on the count of three, let's say, hi, Daniel, we love you. One, two, three, hi Daniel.
We love you.
And of course, we know Daniel is still at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. There was a minor setback, but we're believing with all of our heart that on Monday he's going to be able to be transported to Hershey and much closer. And it's amazing the number of miles Greg told me he's put on his vehicle so far. I think it was somewhere in the neighborhood of over 2,200. So keep Greg as he travels and Lauren as they travel to Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. But hopefully Monday that'll all change and we'll be able to see Daniel and more visitors will be welcome. So Daniel, we love you and we support you and know that God is with you. Any other joys or concerns you'd like to share with your church family this morning? We'll have a microphone coming around, and we want to lift up Amy. She had her Japanese ID stolen and her wallet stolen.
And her phone.
She had a backup phone available, but it's still a trouble.
Can only connect on Wi-Fi.
So keep Amy in her prayers as... Amen. Thank you for good friends. And also Herman Nambeck, want to keep him in prayer. Some complications from his surgery, and he's at Tower Health and was home for less than 24 hours, took him back to the ER at St. Joe's and now transferred to Tower Health. So any other joys or concerns to share with your church family this morning?
I'd like to lift up my daughter, Tammy Brubaker. She's in the hospital. Not sure what's wrong, but she's really mixed up and her minds don't seem right.
Thank you. That was Tammy.
Things are heating up on the other side of the pond. I know two people that are going to Pakistan and Afghanistan, two young men, Zane Gilbert and Guyver Reitmeyer. They're in the service, so pray for their safety.
I don't know about you, but I woke up this morning, I thought, is this really the month of January? This feels wonderful, doesn't it? It was nice to see the snow, but it's gone now, and it's nice to think in a couple of months the robins will be returning. But it's so neat to experience the varying weather that God has blessed us with. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for loving us. We thank you so much, Lord, for the forgiveness that you offer us through the cross. And we each gather here this morning, we bring our own issues, we bring our own struggles. And Lord, you know each one. You know what we're facing in this very moment. But Lord, we just want to thank you that you are a God that enters into our stories, that knows our stories and works through our stories, that our stories might be shared with others. And we just think of this beautiful, grand story that you're making in each of our lives. And we thank you for it, even if it means we must suffer, that we must struggle. Lord, we know through that we're learning to know you in a new way. So thank you, God, that we have our own challenges. And we just pray this morning that you would be with Amy, you would be with Tammy, you would be with Herman, you would be with Carl, you would be with Naomi, and you would be with those that are in the military, Lord, being sent to other areas to protect our country. And Lord, we thank you for the safety that you give us. But Lord, we know as Christians, many across the globe are being persecuted. And we just pray for our brothers and sisters, especially in the Nigeria area. Ask for your protection there. Continue to ask that you would be their supply, that there would be new funds available, that they could dig wells to have water sources. But Lord, we're just going to trust you, whatever storm we're facing right now. And we're going to lean hard on your understanding. For in our own understanding, we just can't fathom some of the things that happen. So Lord, we just want to trust Daniel to you. We want to pray, Lord, that you would just allow Monday to be the day that he's able to go to Hershey. And we don't understand, Lord, why that didn't happen on Friday. But Lord, we're just trusting you and we're being obedient to you and faithful to you, knowing that you have an incredible plan for Daniel's life. And we just pray, Lord, that you would continue to guard our hearts. We go into this world and we see the sin that's happening, but it becomes tempting for us to want to participate in it. But Lord, you call us to be set apart as disciples, as followers of your son, Jesus. So help us, Lord, to be devoted. Help us to be obedient. Help us each morning, Lord, to just surrender all to you and to be saying, Lord, use us. Use us to share your message with others. And Lord, we know that upon our lips you give us words, and we need to take that next step to be courageous, to be bold, and to say to someone, hey, could I pray for you? Jesus loves you. Or some other form of verbiage that you have given us, Lord. So many times it remains on our lips and we don't say it. So forgive us for those times, Lord. But I'm asking that you would just increase in our lives that we might find that courage to share in the life of others who struggle and go through difficulties. And Lord, we know there are joys. We certainly are so thankful for the way 2020 has come upon us, and we see you at work, and we know that you have a great plan for Little Swatara and the Church Universal. So Lord, I pray that we would raise up and we would be the Christians you call us to be, that the world would know we are Christians by the way we love and the way we serve. But Lord, right now we know there may have been sins that have entered into our lives, and we may be aware of them, we may not even be aware of them. So we want to just bring known and unknown sins to you during these next few moments of silent prayer and just take that pause to confess them that we might receive your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for hearing these prayers. Father, forgiveness is not something we take for granted. And Lord, knowingly or unknowingly, the sin that we find ourselves in, we turn from. We repent from, we confess it, and we say no longer do we want to be a part of it. But Lord, you know the battle that lies ahead of us, even this very day. And we ask, Lord, that you would give us strength, that you would give us encouragement, that you would uplift us, you would help us to conquer and defeat any sin that's made its way to our lives. And we thank you, Lord, for the freedom. The freedom from guilt that we have in knowing that we are free. So thank you, Lord, for being with us here in this place. Thank you, Lord, for the youth and the advisors downstairs and volunteers preparing a meal for us after this service, that we might support them in their endeavors. And Lord, just bless our youth, bless our children, bless our young adults, our every age that's represented here this morning. I ask your abundant blessings upon. And we just thank you for this day ahead and the many opportunities we'll have to love others and to share who you are. Thank you, Lord, that we can know whose we are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Do things my way, you alone. history is like you. History itself belongs to you. Alpha and Omega, you have loved me, and I will share eternity with you. It's all about you. Your glory and your fame, it's not about me. As if you should do things my way, you alone are God, and I surrender to your ways.
As we prepare for our time of offering, I'd like to share from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 through 7. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father who is over all and in all and living through all. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. And in my footnotes, it says, each believer has God-given abilities that can strengthen the whole body. Your special ability may seem small or large, but it is yours to use to God's service. Ask God to use your unique gifts to contribute to the strength and health of the body of believers. And I just thought that this was fitting as we're preparing for our time of offering. Yes, we're giving our monetary gifts, but there is also all of those gifts that God has given us, those special talents for us to use. So keep that in mind as you're preparing to give your monetary gifts. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for the abilities that you've given to each one of us, and we thank you for the monies that you have given to us as we earn a living through many of the tasks that we have done. Lord, use these monies, use our talents to grow your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
are amazing. These children are awesome. So let's give them a round of applause and encourage them this morning, because we are so blessed to have children as part of Little Swatara, and we just think you guys are so amazing. Right? Right, Blake? Yeah. Amazing. So as you guys made your way forward this morning, what did you have to do? You had to walk? Okay, that's a good way to put it. What could we call that? Prepare? You had to prepare to come forward. And in preparing to come forward, you had to, before you could walk, what did you have to do? What? You had to think, do I really want to go up there with my dad or don't I? Is that what you were thinking? What were you thinking? Okay, so in preparations, we have to think about what we do. Okay, so what did you actually do? How did you prepare to come forward before you even walked? What did you have to do? Standing up, right? So in preparation for coming forward, you stood up out of your pew, and then you made your way which direction? How did you know how to prepare? Which way did you know to go? You knew to come forward because I was up here saying, children, come forward. Okay, so that's one thing you guys had to prepare for today. What else did you have to prepare for? Getting out of bed. How many of us really have to prepare for getting out of bed? That can be for some of us, that is the miracle of the day. Being able to just get out of bed. Once you get those like bones snapping and crunching and just being able to stretch and get out of bed is a blessing, isn't it? Right? So that's your first preparation for the day, is getting out of bed, as difficult as that may be. Then what do you have to do next? What do you do next after you get out of bed? Okay, do you eat? How many of you eat as soon as you get out of bed? You get out of bed and eat? Wow, you guys are fantastic. So you're in your jammies and you go out to the kitchen and you eat, okay? No, you're not in your jammies? Does anyone get dressed before they go eat? Yeah, some of you get dressed. So in preparing to eat, you get dressed for the day. And then some of you, I'm taking, you eat breakfast and then you go get dressed. Am I getting the preparations correct? No? What do? You eat in bed? No? You don't eat in bed? That's not a good idea, because we've had mice in our house. You don't want mice in your bed, that's for sure. When do you eat? Do you get out of bed, get dressed, and then eat, or is there something else that happens as you prepare for your day? You don't know? Okay. What about, do you have something else? Eat on the couch. That's cool. Yeah. So we're preparing for our day. Now there's something else we had to prepare for. Where did you guys come today? Where are we? How do you prepare for coming to church? Getting dressed? What else?
Get in the car.
Get in the car. Okay. I'm sorry, go ahead. To get ready and get going. So maybe you guys do this every day, but preparing, when you come to church, do you guys realize this is what we call holy ground? Every time you come to church, this is holy ground. We're standing in the presence of God. So when you prepare to come before the Lord, is there anything else you might need to do? What do you think? Okay, you might pray. How many of you start your day with prayer? If you don't, do you think you could do that? Do you think you could try that for me? Before you even get out of bed, just say a short prayer to God and say, Lord, I don't know what you have in store for me today, but I'm here, I'm a willing vessel, and I'm going to be obedient to you. I'm going to serve you today. What do you think? Do you think that would make your day even better? Like, you guys have pretty awesome days. I can imagine being a child again and how cool you guys have days. Like, when you get recess and lunch, aren't they the best part of your day?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I loved going to recess. That was the best part. What? You pray every night? Good. So there's something that's going to happen. What did we just celebrate? What was Christmas all about? Well, you celebrated what? Jesus' birth, what we'll call the first coming of Jesus. Do you guys know Jesus is going to come a second time? Do you guys realize that? Do you think LaShane, because he's a pastor's kid, knows when that's going to happen? Did I tell you when that date is, LaShane? I didn't tell you that date? No, you think it's going to be the 25th? Well, okay, let's go with it. So what if you knew the 25th was going to be when Jesus was going to return? What would you do to prepare for Jesus' return? Get your crosses out, okay. You would celebrate, so you would get yourself like in order. Would that be a good way to put it? You prepare yourself for Jesus coming by being, do you ever hear the word like holy, like living for Jesus? It's another way. So even though we don't know that the 25th, wouldn't that be crazy if he came back the 25th? But Prophecy. Wow. But we don't know. Only the Father knows. Even Jesus doesn't know when he's going to return. But we do know it could happen at any time. It could happen right now. Jesus could return. And what do you think he wants to find us? Ready for him, right? So prepared and ready for him. So we have each day, as we open our eyes, even when we go to bed, we have thoughts. Even thoughts can cause us to sin. Like if you are sitting here and you're thinking something about someone, that could actually be a sin because you're thinking the wrong thing about someone. So you have to really be prepared. And are we always going to get it perfect? Is it going to be every day we're going to be like, you know what, I nailed it? No, we're going to make mistakes. So that's why on Sunday mornings, and we should do that every day, is just confess our sins and know that God forgives us. So that's how we can be ready for God. It's just living our lives for Jesus and knowing that he forgives our sins. But be prepared, ready for Jesus' second coming. Can we do that? All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you so, so much for these children. Lord, you have such a beautiful life ahead for them. And even now, in the midst of what they're going through, Lord, you're traveling through with them and you're giving them all they need to get through the studies that they have or the days that they have. And Lord, we know that we need to be prepared, and we ask that you would just be with us within our hearts, within our souls, that we might be like you. And Lord, we know we try to fit in, we try to be like other people, but Lord, you made us to be us. So thank you for the image that you made us in your son Jesus, that we can replicate to the world. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Guys can go back to your seat. Amen.
If you're able, I'd invite the congregation to stand and join us in singing Days of Elijah.
Trumpets call, lift your voice, and hear. The scripture this morning is from the book of John, chapter 1, starting in verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way for the Lord." Now some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize, if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God."
Some days in our lives that all we can think about is what's right in front of us. And anytime anyone says anything, we reply to them from the zone that we're in. It's one of those funny, not so funny scenarios played out in our lives. So this morning we want to talk about who do we think we are? Not who others think we are, but who we think we are. And if you're anything like me, you spent much of your life trying to fit in. In other words, being someone that you're not. Depending on the moment in any given day, during high school, I was an Aggie. I was a jock. I was a bandy. I was a nerd, or simply an outcast. Now, I'll admit, looking back, I did fairly well as an Aggie. I participated in FFA and in 4-H. I was the chaplain, I showed pigs, I showed lambs, even one year I showed a steer. I did livestock and land judging, a national team winner in farm business management, back-to-back Envirothon team champions, and the list goes on and on. But friends, I didn't live on a farm with any type of formal operation. I just lived in a house that had a barn and a little bit of land. Now, some may disagree, but my claim to jockdom was the varsity golf team. And I can see an air high five happening back there in the back row, because we know that golf is indeed a sport. My senior year, though, my friends thought, "Let's put you in a real sport." And so they talked me into joining track and field. So I threw the shot put, I threw the discus, and I threw my back out throwing the javelin. Only because that particular meet, my high school sweetheart, my lovely wife Denise, decided to show up. But I had the varsity jacket, I had the 4 varsity pins, so I must have been a jock. Well, we get to the next who I thought I was and didn't fare all that well. I'm not Andy Wise, and when I played the trumpet, everyone knew that I was playing. And I, of course, was the guy that did enough to get by in school. I would get a few A's and B's. I would make the honor roll a few times. But I wasn't really what you call a nerd. My textbooks somehow didn't seem to make it home every day. So I guess standing here, looking back upon myself those years, I was more of an outcast. I didn't fit into any one group, but I did wear the mask. I played the part. I did what I had to do to make it look like I did. And friends, when we're not playing that game, we start to look at others. We start to compare ourselves. I wish I could be like them. I wish I had what they have. And we live into that commercial that says, I want to be like Mike. And I mean, Mike's cool. Mike could slam dunk. Mike could play some basketball. But friends, know this today. God made you, you. And believe it or not, God has a reason for the way he made you. You see, God has perfect plans for your life. So the message today is simple. Be you. Be who God made you to be. Stop trying to be anyone else. And deep down, friends, we know who we are. I get it, many nights we fall asleep wishing that we could change our stories. But this is your story. No one else's. You get to live your story. You get to own your story. But more importantly, you get to reveal Jesus, your Lord, through those stories. So who do you think you are? Are you thinking about being a big star? Remember, you're a friend of God. You are bought at a price. You're forgiven and free. You're given the name child of God. But the question for us this morning is, do we truly believe that? Friends, no one else can be you. You are who you are. You're one of a kind. You're uniquely made in God's image. Everything you've been through, every challenge, every success points to the God who made you. Think about this. We can actually be thankful for our scars because we realize without them, we wouldn't know God the way that we know God. They tell about who he is. So those scars that try to mar who we are turn out to be blessings. They're highlights of God's work in your life. So in our scripture today, when the Pharisees approach John the Baptist demanding to know who he thinks he is, John never responds with who he is, but who he knows and who he longs to reveal. So many times it's all about who we want others to think we are. Yet, friends, today take your stand and know that the world needs to know who you truly are. That you follow a king. You follow the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and be proud to call yourself a disciple of Christ. Friends, no one can change that. No one can take that away. Day in and day out, the enemy may try. But when you know who you are in Christ, guess what? He can never win. So the next time someone says, "Who do you think you are?" You don't even need to think. You can know. And you can be assured that you are more than enough, a child of the King Most High. As these verses unfold, we see more of Christ than we see of John. Now consider that for a moment. Look at your life. When you go out into the world, do others see more of Christ than they see of Patty or Pam or Marlene or Diane? Or are they seeing more of you?
Think about that. Jesus even goes on, he calls John the greatest man ever born. But remember, every time this man is refusing to let those around him define him by who he is. As we're all called to do, John defines himself by someone else. It said the Word became flesh. Some in that time actually believed that Jesus only seemed human. But friends, know that Jesus was revealed as completely human, like you and I. But also know, friends, that he was completely God. And here's how we know what we know. Jesus dwelt, or he tabernacled, or he pitched his tent among us. You see, he was the human tabernacle, or the tent of meeting. Jesus is where we meet God. Now, Jesus wasn't anything special on the outside, but on the inside, Jesus was the very glory of God. And we know that Jesus is the one and only, the only begotten Son of God. He's not a series of reincarnated Christs, as some cults claim. He is full of grace. He's full of truth. He is the real thing, the holy God. So as the verses continue, there's this gift that he offers to all who are willing to accept it. And what confuses me so much about this world is that many of us love free things. When Frosties are offered for free at Wendy's, we might get in line. When you get free coffee at Sheetz, you might make a trip. And you know, we even get excited about this thing called BOGO, which I didn't realize meant buy one, get one free. Like that's some sort of awesome deal, right? Denise telling me the other day, she's at Kmart, which apparently everything's 75% off. And what a deal that is, until she realized, looking at the prices, the 75% off was actually more than what other stores were offering those same products for. But Jesus is here offering us this free gift, eternal salvation. Now in our finite minds, we can't begin to understand eternity apart from the fact it means forever. But there's so many that question it. They doubt that it can be real, and they refuse it. So here they are, these religious leaders, and they're curious about John. They needed to check out this new teaching, check out his credentials. Now, they weren't so happy that John's getting this following. They're probably feeling a bit threatened. Maybe even they're jealous all at the same time. So they keep pressing to know who he is. And here's what they're thinking. He had four possibilities. He was the Messiah. He was Elijah. He was the prophet spoken of by Moses. Or he had to be a false prophet. Immediately, John emphatically denies being the Messiah. The last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, promised that one would come to prepare the way before me. And then later it says Elijah himself is identified as coming before the great and awesome day of the Lord. But John goes on and he says, I'm not Elijah. John also says that he's not the prophet, which references Deuteronomy 18:15. So they must have been thinking perhaps John was among the many false prophets of that day. But friends, John is more interested in revealing why he came, not who he is. Yet this morning, I have to wonder, how much do we stress, how much do we worry about what other people think? I mean, do we actually look at the positions that others have attained, the degrees that they have, the power they hold, the beauty and physical abilities they own? I mean, it's awesome that you can lift things up and put them down. It's amazing that you can turn heads with the whip of your hair. And I'm incredibly proud of you that you have a new job and the degrees that you've attained. But amidst that, don't forget why you're here. And friends, it's the same reason John came, to prepare the way, to reveal who Jesus is. Think about what the Great Commission actually says. It starts out with this really intense word, go. Go. That doesn't mean I get to sit on my couch and play Madden 20 all day. That doesn't mean I get to hide myself in my wood shop and make all sorts of creative ornaments. It means go, therefore, and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As the scripture says, the Pharisees go on and ask John why he's baptizing. He's not Christ. He's not Elijah. But you see, friends, he is doing what he was called to do. And he says, there stands among us one whom we do not yet know. Friends, Jesus entered life quietly. He was standing in the background. He was just about unrecognized. But then suddenly his ministry erupts. And before our very eyes, he's being revealed by John the Baptist. And friends, we're left with this opportunity to decide if we really want to know this Christ. Now, probably more often than we'd probably be willing to admit, we look to Jesus for some type of miracle to amaze us, to show us what he's capable of. But here in our passage, John takes on a position lower than the lowest slave when compared to the Messiah. Untying the sandal was considered such a menial task that not even the lowest slave was asked to do it. Now, at that point, I'm sure by his words, there was quite a buzz among the people. So as the verses unfold, we soon realize John is what we could call an agent for Jesus. He is allowing himself to be used by God, by which power comes in and out of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Now, friends, keep in mind, God did not have to do it this way. Jesus is simply humbling himself through this water baptism. It's not a baptism of repentance, but of humility before his Father. So calling Jesus the Lamb of God would have instantly brought to mind in that audience the Passover lamb of Exodus 12. But we're not just talking about taking away the sins of families. Friends, this Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, takes away the sins of the entire world. Now, what's interesting here, and scholars debate, is that John and Jesus were cousins, so they knew each other, but John did not realize the big reveal about to happen. Some scholars suggest John does not know that Jesus is the Messiah until God provides a sign that only Jesus and him could see. They were the only two that saw the Holy Spirit descend. Remember in Matthew's gospel, it read, a voice from heaven said, "This is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." Now, friends, as the praise team comes forward for our closing song, I can only imagine how pleased God is when we reveal his son. And perhaps today we've tried and tried to be someone that we're really not. And perhaps this morning you're hearing the voice of God saying to you, be who I've made you to be. Know that I believe in you to do even greater things. So as we close our service today, myself and deacons will be available for anointing. And today, amidst everything we're going through, we can reclaim our true identity in Christ. As James reads in chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Would you pray with me as we prepare our hearts and mind for the anointing service ahead? Lord, you are incredibly good. And Lord, you know the lives that we've been leading, the people we've tried to be, but yet, Lord, down in, we know who we are. Lord, we know that we are called your child, a son, a daughter, an heir of salvation. And Lord, we confess there's days we really mess that up. But Lord, there are days we do so well, and we show others what love really looks like. But Lord, today, as we prepare for anointing, we want to reclaim that true identity. Perhaps sickness has entered into our lives, and we've suffered and we've endured hardship, and we just need to know your special touch today. Or perhaps we're looking for guidance and wondering what could possibly be next, and we come before you to be anointed. Whatever it may be, Lord, we ask that you would come alongside us and reveal yourself, that we might reveal you to the world around us. Amen and amen.
Please rise and join us in singing Friend of God.
Who am I that you are mindful of me? That you hear me when I call. Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me? It's amazing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. That you hear me when I call. Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me? It's amazing. I am a friend of God. 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 He calls me friend.
in this very moment, knowing where our precious friend Daniel is, I've invited Renee to come forward, and we've anointed people on others' behalves. And so, Renee, if you're willing, I'd like to anoint you on Daniel's behalf. And Daniel, know this anointing is especially for you. And Daniel, because of your belief, because of your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, I anoint Renee on your behalf. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we know that you are with Daniel right now, and you're doing miraculous things in his life. And we just pray that your power would continue to pour out upon him, your strength would be given to him, and you would allow him to go through that therapy like a champion, knowing that he is bold and he is courageous because of what you, his Savior, Christ our Lord, has done for him. And we just pray for strength each day, that it would renew and it would mount up like wings on eagles. And we just thank you, Lord, for loving Daniel. And we ask this anointing upon him in Jesus' most precious name. Amen and amen. And now as we go into this world, know that you are who you are. You have been made in God's image. He's created each of you for a specific task, a specific purpose. So we ask today you would go with peace, you would go with love, you would go with joy, sending that forth into the world that others may know Christ through you. May it be so in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I'm a friend of God. I'm a friend of God. I am a friend of God.